Greatest day of the week. If your name's Bob Fesco, Tuesday here on 96.5
I'm getting
the fan.
Wood today.
All right.
Yeah, about 3:30 this afternoon. Headed to Payola to grab some wood.
You're going to Payola?
I am.
Nice.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to travel for wood, man.
Yeah. Depends on if you need it or not.
And you always need wood, especially now with the rain coming. You want to get it before it's dry. Nothing worse than a wet wood pack of sticks, okay. Right? Right?
I don't know what that last part was.
I don't
was.
Know what it was either. I was trying to think of pile, I think.
I was like, come on. And then it did. You went like full
Daniel Jones.
I did, yeah.
You got to the fourth quarter with like 5 minutes left, and then you're like, sorry, TJ Watt, I feel bad. Come get your sack fumble. Recovery. Damn it.
Son of a gun, I was so close to nailing that thing right.
Oh, God. Why did I watch that entire game last night?
Because I even bounced out of it last night early, man.
I thought there was a chance.
No, there's never a chance.
Really.
You just mentioned Daniel Jones. Nobody is less clutch than that guy, other than maybe Aaron Judge.
But
Daniel Jones, I mean, my God, it needs to end. I was watching Brian Daboll on the sidelines, and I don't know if you guys had the same thought that I did during that game. He is just totally done with Daniel Jones. Like, he wants nothing to do with that guy anymore being the quarterback of his football team. And he looked like to me like he was just yelling at him last night, because I think there were like a false start penalty, then there was a delay of game, then there was an illegal shift, and like all of this stuff on back-to-back-to-back plays, and Brian Daboll just losing it on the sidelines.
Yeah, he's kind of cringe. I guess your daughters would probably say that.
Yeah.
Just like every play it doesn't go his way, like throws a fit like he's never seen it before.
Correct.
Like Troy Aikman, I don't know if you heard the audio or not.
But I had that on mute last night.
He was like super pissed that they called illegal formation for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And they kept bringing in like the expert referee. And he's like, no, Troy, you're wrong. So he's still in motion. Malik has to stop. He doesn't stop. The other guy's off the ball. So he's like, it's your right call. Yeah, I don't know, man. I just disagree. You know, a lot of people think I look like Jay-Z, but white. And,
that's
a real thing.
No, it is. Yeah, it really is. 100%. Yeah.
And then it's like, fine. It's like, you ever had like an argument with somebody? Probably have. Where like, they just can't let it go.
Oh, God,
and
yes.
Then it's like,
I'm married.
You're like 5 minutes into it, and you think it's over with, and then it's like, you know, still, I don't believe you. You're like, dude, like, here's an expert referee. Can't be wrong sometimes. Here's how he's defining the play. It didn't work. But, yeah, that was I watched that whole freaking game.
Well, you're better than me, man, because I just, about the third quarter, I'm like, I'm out of this one. I can't do it. The Yankees were getting beat in the World Series. They have not made the World Series much of a series in this thing. But
yeah, Sports Equinox, man.
A great day yesterday. But the thing, ultimately, for me is, shouldn't Daniel Jones wait until Malik Nabers is, like, stopped before he snaps the football?
Yes,
And that's why Brian Daboll was losing his mind last night, because I saw him at one point, you know, damn it, Daniel.
This guy's like, going to get me fired.
They're going to move him out. I think they're honestly going to move Daniel Jones out and just give a clean slate to Brian Daboll.
Good.
Like, I think, you know,
I'm not going to sign somebody.
There ain't
a quarterback in the draft better than Daniel Jones.
There really isn't, though. That's the thing. I don't know who they're going to get. And if you want to give this guy an opportunity with a legit quarterback, then I don't know where you're going to find one from, because there's no quarterback tree out there. College football stinks right now when it comes to quarterbacks. And, you know, Binkley last week, we were going to talk to Binkley about some of those quarterbacks, but then the breaking news of DeAndre Hopkins took place on Wednesday, and so we had to bag that. But I'm sure tomorrow when we talk with Binkley, he'll tell you there are no NFL-ready quarterbacks right now in college football. And I think if you watch the landscape of college football, you've probably seen, like, there's nobody jumping out at
you
right now.
He told me for the next 2 years.
Yes, he did. Yes.
I talked to him yesterday after the show, because he was, we'll talk about it later, as he's absolutely triggered
right
on the Baltimore Ravens media hype.
Right.
And he said this year, he goes, you know, Dustman, great time to be a Chiefs fan. Got to worry about a quarterback because there ain't none.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. And then he was telling me how Travis Hunter's the Heisman.
Yep.
I was like, not Shador, not Cam Ward. He's like, yeah, guy plays both ways. I was like, yep. And then he said, in 3 years, though, the wide receiver class is going to be electric.
3 years from now.
He said there's a ton of freshmen right now that are getting ready to take off in a couple years. He's like, that's where the Chiefs will attack it.
Okay. Well, we'll wait 3 years to get that wide receiver, right?
Ohio State will be into the draft in a couple years.
And the guy
from Alabama, Williams.
Yes, Williams, my God.
If the Giants want to make a move next year, here's a list of free agents.
Okay, who's available?
Sam Darnold.
Oh, great.
Unrestricted free agent.
They may get Sam Darnold. They may go get Sam Darnold.
Or Aaron Rodgers and let him follow the same path as Brett Favre.
That'd be glorious.
Aaron Rodgers just needs to walk away from the game.
I saw that meme yesterday. It said it's a sports equinox day, so they were doing all these weird things. It was like the perfect equinox for Aaron Rodgers would to be traded to the Minnesota Vikings and then get all the way to the NFC Championship game and lose.
Because
that's the exact same path that the guy that he hates the most, I think, has a dartboard in his basement that's dark with Brett Favre on the face of it.
Right.
That's exactly what Brett did.
That's right.
Left Green Bay, got destroyed in New York, even like sent DPs.
I mean, bad stuff in New York.
Bad stuff. And then went to Minnesota, successful, NFC Championship game, lost. Aaron Rodgers can do the same thing if he'd like.
It would be very nice. But J.J. McCarthy's supposed to be back next year and be ready to go. Right. I don't know if you just gift him that position. Like, if Minnesota ends up making a nice little run and they get into the playoffs, do you cut bait with Sam Darnold? I mean, I don't know.
Boy, the free agent quarterback class might be worse than the draft.
Well, it's
Sam
never
Darnold,
good.
Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Jacoby Brissett, Taylor Heineke, Marcus Mariota, Drew Locke, Jarrett Stidham, Andy Dalton, Justin Fields, Joe Flacco, Jameis Winston, Mac Jones, Carson Wentz. I'm done.
Okay, yeah. But you know what? If you're a good quarterback, you're already locked up by your team.
Sure.
And see, that's the biggest misnomer. We're going free agency and fix the quarterback position. Here's Darnold, Sam.
You could go to Jacksonville and be like, what do you want for Trevor?
Yeah, maybe. You know? Yeah, maybe.
Rebuild
if they fire Doug Peterson, that may be an interesting route in which to go. And then maybe, you know, and I hate to throw this one out there because it's probably never going to happen, but we've seen stranger things happen before. If they move on from Zach Taylor in Cincinnati, they may want to just blow up the entire operation out there in Cincinnati and start over from anew. And if you're the Giants and they fire Zach Taylor, you absolutely make a phone call to find out if Joe Burrow would be available. You absolutely do something like that. And you never know.
They locked him up, right?
They did.
He has a contract with it.
Yeah.
I think the Giants are going to go talk to Bill Belichick seriously in the offseason.
Well, they may.
Why not finish it where you wanted to start your whole entire career, right? They went with Bill, the other Bill, and he will get a quarterback. Like, he'll just go to the front office and be like, look, I don't have any control like I did in New England, but here's what I'm telling you. I want a proven quarterback.
And they'll go get Tom Brady out of the broadcast. Congratulations, Giselle, pregnant from her new boyfriend. Congratulations. She's going to have a baby. That's awesome, man. That's good stuff.
Good for that guy.
Absolutely. I don't even know who that guy is, but congratulations to the happy couple.
He's the jiu-jitsu guy.
Yeah, they're going to do karate.
Jiu-jitsu guy?
Yeah. Okay.
You didn't hear about this?
You didn't hear about it? Where have you been? In Tennessee, hiding out or something?
Heard about the boyfriend and the baby.
Boyfriend was the jiu-jitsu guy. That's why, like, Kevin Hart was like, Tom, you got to know when she's going 8 days a week that something's going on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because there's only 7 days.
Yeah.
She was really trying to get that black belt.
Tape delayed to Mac Morey's house. I mean, my God.
She came home with no belt on, and he was like, I thought you were going for a big one today. She's like, boy, did I.
Did I ever,
Here's the papers.
Congratulations. So Giselle is pregnant. But no, I mean, the Giants has always been Belichick's dream job, right? Like, you know, he won two Super Bowls there in the early 80s, then obviously
Lost
two Super Bowls against him is right and whatnot. But, I mean, again, he's marrying this 23-year-old. Who knows if that's going to change what, you know, he desires to do. But if I'm Bill Belichick right now, you're only going back to try to beat Don Shula and to beat the record. And I'm not taking over a team that doesn't have a quarterback. I'm just not going to do that if I'm Bill Belichick, because you're never going to get to that promised land that you want to get to. Now, if the Eagles should come available this offseason and they have Jalen Hurts, well, that's a different conversation. Same thing with Dallas. You know, you potentially got a quarterback down there. But, man, the Giants right now are just a rudderless ship. And if you don't have a quarterback in this league, you just don't stand a chance. You can spend all the money you want on wide receivers and defensive line, but if you don't have a quarterback in this league, you're an inept operation. Just watch the games.
Yeah. Speaking of watching the game, Sports Equinox continues, right?
Right.
Basketball last night was interesting. It was flipping back and forth between that. Again, had money on the game.
Right.
Chewed pen.
Yeah. Throw that out.
And, I was going back and forth, and it seemed, I don't know if it was like my TV or timing, but it seemed every time I'd flip over to the World Series, it was either Fat Joe, which was terrible.
Oh my God. It was awful. What was that blown experiment, man? Like the last time I've seen something that bad at Yankee Stadium was CeeLo walking off at the hockey game, giving the double bird in a fur coat when Yankee Stadium was booing him and Speck and I and Josh were there. I mean, it was
odd.
It was as bad as that.
Now lean back. Nobody was leaning. Mm-hmm. But
like nobody wanted that.
Yeah, except the rich white ladies from Queens. They're like Michael Kors bag on, brown jacket. They're like, I love this.
Yeah.
We used to do this at Delta. Anyways, so every time I was on the TV, it was Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Every time I turned the TV on, he struck out.
That's exactly right.
And you brought up a really good point. Is he the biggest athlete who is the most least clutch, biggest athlete we've ever seen?
Yeah, he's the biggest.
Seven strikeouts.
He's the biggest star that is least clutch in the history of professional sports. And I don't hesitate by saying that at all. There is nobody that is as big a name and as big a figure that is more worthless in big moments than Aaron Judge. He's hitting .091 in the World Series. Not just this World. Well, I guess it is just this World Series because he hasn't been in another one. But he's hitting .091 in his career in the World Series. And if you're going to go out and be the MVP of the league and hit 60-plus home runs, you got to show up when the moments are big. And when this World Series is over, if the Yankees end up getting swept tonight, nobody's going to talk about Gerrit Cole. Nobody's going to talk about Nestor Cortez. Nobody's going to talk about Freddie Freeman.
About the flop.
It's going to be all about Aaron Judge and how miserable and gross he is in moments that matter. And it's one thing to be a regular season baseball player, but you make your name, you make your legacy, you make your money by what you do in the playoffs. Nobody's going to remember the regular season for Patrick Mahomes. He's 15-3 in the postseason. Right. You're going to remember those great comebacks in the postseason. Derek Jeter, I couldn't tell you a regular season moment Derek Jeter had. Playoff moments was huge. LeBron James has led three different franchises to NBA championships. Michael Jordan, three straight. Took a break for baseball. Three more in a row. I mean, those are what big-time stars do. Aaron Judge can't be included in the conversation of big time stars anymore because when the moment's big, he's a small little man up there at the plate that doesn't get the job done. And that's how he's going to be remembered unless he changes his legacy and the Yankees come back from an 0-3 deficit and win this thing. And, you know, he powers them. But I don't know, man. And I know sometimes it's hyperbole, but can you think of a bigger star that's been smaller in big moments than Aaron Judge in the history of sports? I can't think of anybody that comes up so futile in big moments like Aaron Judge has done.
Yeah, I was trying to wrap my head around it, and I'm like, well, Rodgers, but he won a Super Bowl in 2010.
Right.
I mean, he was kind of good, but then it would like the later on in his career was like he always lost in the playoffs.
Rodgers is a good comparison, though, Dusty. I mean, it really is.
I mean, he won the one and was like he was there and he's won MVP. Like in the regular season, he's won MVPs.
Yep.
And then it was always like, but he lost to Jimmy Garoppolo at home in the NFC Championship.
Correct.
Game. And it's right. Like you've got to win that game. Like right. That's just you've got to. It's in Lambeau. It's 1 degree. It's snowing. Like you've got to win that game.
Yep.
Lost it.
Isn't he 10-13 in the postseason or something like that? I mean, like Aaron Rodgers.
That's a hell of a pull of a stat if that's the actual number. But I know it's under 500.
Yeah.
I know that. But I don't want to just say Aaron Rodgers because he's like the obvious, but like the guy that we always talk about. But right. Like I'm literally trying to think of like
12 and 10 in the postseason. So he's over 500. All right.
Yeah. I mean it's tough, man. It's which player gets their coach fired first? Aaron Judge gets Boone fired or Daniel Jones gets Daboll fired?
Well, I think probably Aaron Judge gets Boone fired. If they get swept, we've got, you know, the tomorrow.
Yeah. Text line comes with a bun. This is interesting.
All right.
Most biggest athlete, least clutch, Lamar Jackson. Can't win in the playoffs.
Damn. That's a good one.
Lamar might be the one. Congratulations to the two texts that said Lamar. And congratulations to being up here. On Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. But yeah, Lamar's a good one.
Lamar's a
great one.
Yeah. Is he a bigger star than Aaron Judge?
Yes.
Okay.
Not even close.
Okay.
I mean, I say that quickly, but I really do believe it's not close.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you literally put Lamar Jackson's face next to Aaron Judge's face, like, name these two, and somebody would be like, that's Lamar Jackson. That's quarterback for the Ravens. It'd be something like that where somebody would be like,
I would disagree a little bit because you know, football, you wear helmets, and so people don't recognize your face as much as you do in baseball.
Yeah,
you know, you got your face showing all the time.
What if you put him in the helmet?
It's
just like game day gear, like Judge in a Yankees hat, eye black, Lamar Jackson helmet on.
Yeah, I think you'd have more people recognize
Plus
Lamar
it
from
says
that.
Jackson's name on the back.
Yeah, it says his name on the back. Judge doesn't have his name on the back.
No,
if
doubt.
I'm Judge right now, I wouldn't want my name on the back of that stat either. 0-91 in the World Series, my God.
What's Lamar's playoff record real quick? Because we're way too long for a break. I don't care.
He's only won one game, so what is he, 1-4?
Yeah.
Beat Houston last year.
I mean, he's got more than one win in the playoffs.
No, he doesn't.
No, he has
one win in last year. He beat the Patriots a couple of years ago,
didn't he? He beat Houston last year. I thought that was number one.
I swear he had another win.
Okay, Bob's right. He's 2-4.
2-4.
2-4 with a win against
New England, right?
And he's had
never played New England.
No.
And he has the best record last year, number one seed last year, and lost at home in the AFC.
I beat the Titans.
Titans
in 2021.
Okay.
Had nice. To beat the Chiefs.
That's the Titans team that beat New England to get to Baltimore. That's what
it was, I think. Yes.
Yeah.
That was right. Yep.
Speaking of new names on the backs of jerseys, there is one in Kansas City. We'll discuss what that means on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. It's your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Jay Binkley up bright and early tuning in. Said Jim Kelly's another name.
Jim Kelly's a good one. Yeah, absolutely. That is a really good one.
Yep.
Yeah, Jim Kelly losing four straight Super Bowls. You could have said the same thing for John Elway for a while, but then eventually he got his later on in his career.
And then he said Marty Schottenheimer as well is another guy that was not really a superstar, but right. He said nobody was better than getting to the playoffs and choking.
That's exactly right.
Philip Rivers.
Did he get to enough playoffs, though, before he...
I bet his record's better. I bet it's like more impressive than you think as in games played in the playoffs. Because like there was a while they were... winning their division.
They were like 14-2, but they weren't winning in the postseason. Nope. I don't think Marty Schottenheimer obviously was the coach of that 14-2 team in San Diego, and then got bounced right after that. I mean, he didn't last long out there because he couldn't win in the postseason, and that ultimately did end Marty Schottenheimer. Will always be kind of the footnote of his career, but you talk to guys from those early 90s Chiefs teams that were on him, they're like, man, Marty blew all those games.
5-7 in his career in the playoffs for one Philip Rivers.
Rivers was 5-7. That's it, huh? That's not a lot of playoff games. That's like 1 year for Patrick Mahomes.
Seriously.
What do you think about it, right? Like 7-5, what is 12? 11, right? 7-5 is 12. And Patrick Mahomes is 15-3. Patrick Mahomes has more playoff wins than Philip Rivers had playoff appearances.
That's right. And he's done it in half the career.
Yeah.
Speaking of playoff experience, here's Bill Belichick on the newly acquired Chiefs.
Look, Josh Uche is a really good rusher. He hasn't had a chance to rush much this year for the Patriots because they've been behind a lot. And, it's the situation hasn't been good. But he had a big year 2 years ago. Now, he had Judon on the other side of him. So it was two good pass rushers. But he'll have a lot of opportunities to rush in Kansas City. I think that he'll really help him. He's got surprising power for his size. He's got, excellent quickness and a good get off, and he has some flexibility in coverage. So I think it's a good addition for a team that needs another pass rusher, which everybody does. Josh can do that. He'll definitely help him.
Josh Uche.
Nice addition for this team. I had texted you guys earlier in the day. I said, I think something may be happening today.
It was almost like, something's going on. Not officially know if they're going to get anybody, but they are talking. It was like, and Schefter.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then like Uche shows up here in Kansas City. And I think for the football savant and all of us, look, this is a nice addition for one big reason in my mind. It gives Spags another guy that can rush the quarterback.
No doubt.
And they're now going to go, and this is going to get a little nerdy, and I know Binkley probably perked up, getting ready and excited about this kind of conversation.
Oh, he likes him.
But
out of Michigan.
Let me tell you something, Dustman. I don't say the word Michigan. I usually say Ishigan. But if this guy comes in here and produces, I'll put the M back in front of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because us Ohio State guys, we don't ever utter that word, that dirty word, Ishigan. But now he's here, and it gives you five pass rushers. It's two deep plus one because you got George Karloftis, obviously. You've got Mike Dana. He'll be back. Then Charles Domenico, who is making great progress. He'll be back. Yep. You got Felix and Udike Uzama, and now you add Uche into the mix. And that gives you five different pass rushers that you can attack the quarterback with. And that's where Spags earns his keep and earns his money the most, is when he can continue to send waves of people at the quarterback and guys that are fresh and ready to go throughout the game. And so it's a luxury move, I think, more so than the one we saw last week with DeAndre Hopkins, right? That was a need more than anything. This, to me, is more of a luxury move, but I love it because now you've got the ability, if you wanted to move Charles Omenihu and Mike Dana inside a little bit and play them. And I mean, you know, I'm just going to say, watch this, man, because what Spags is going to start to do with some of these pairings, and now that he has the opportunity to do it, it made this defense better, and you get a legit pass rusher now for the final 2 months of the season and the postseason to go along with the four pass rushers you already had from that position. You made yourself better yesterday. Very nice, shrewd move by Brett Veach, and essentially people are like, what did they give up, right? Well, you gave up a sixth-round draft pick, which isn't that big a deal, but they expect if he leaves via free agency, they'll get a seventh-round comp pick back in return for him. So you're basically trading a sixth-rounder for a seventh-rounder, and you get Uche down the stretch to rush the quarterback for you. It's a win for everybody.
Yeah, and I like that Belichick said that he didn't really get to show his talents this year because New England's been behind and haven't been able to really like do right. what he does best. The other thing that I'm interested in, which I think is what gets Matt going as well, is like, him being on the same side as Chris Jones.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's one of those, it kind of, I mean, I know it's not. I just saw 55 and, you know, kind of like an edge rusher. And I kind of thought about, like, Frank Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought about how, like, Frank was so benefited from having Chris Jones there. And this is, like, before, like, I mean, I would say that Chris Jones is better today than he was in 2000.
Chris Jones is playing better football today than he's ever played before.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. And you put him together with Chris Jones, and then you have Karlaftis on the other side, and then you think about, okay, Minnehue comes back in probably, what, 3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's 3 or 4 weeks. Maybe by week 10, maybe
whenever
11.
It is, right?
Yeah. And maybe he's back by Buffalo, maybe he's not. But either way, that adds to it. You get FAU in the rotation as well, and then you have this guy, and you're like, okay, this guy's going to add more pressure, which is going to help the secondary, which is going to help the linebackers, which is going to help the defense. That, by the way, is number two in the NFL. That might be number one now that the Pittsburgh Steelers gave up so many points last
night. Yeah, they did. They gave up a lot of points to the Giants last night. The Giants didn't know what to do with almost 20 points scored yesterday. Right. It was very weird for them. But you also now have given the ability for everybody else on that defensive line to get better because you added one more piece.
That's going to give up 18.
They gave up 18. Yeah. It was close to 20 points last night. But you give everybody else the opportunity now on the defensive line to get better because you get guys more rest on the sidelines. And when you can throw just fresh waves of guys at the quarterback, man, like this is a very good move for like the football nerd and all of us to say, okay, it adds some depth. Like you know, it's probably not going to be like if you added Tyreek Hill, everybody would be excited about that. That jumps off the page.
Right.
Josh Uche, you're like, may have heard that name before. And then you start to do your research and figure out what it's all about and what this is going to do for the team and how it's going to make the team better. You're like, man, that's just another move by Brett Veach. I mean, like the guy continues to kill it when it comes to making moves that make this organization better. And, you know, there were some naysayers on Twitter yesterday, like up in Atchison and places like that, that are like complaining about the move and, you know, whatnot. But like, where do you get off complaining about this move that Brett Veach went out and made? A guy who's won 3 Super Bowl championships and built the roster maybe better than anybody else in the
right.
NFL.
Mac, what do you think about this move?
I'm so pumped, man.
Okay.
You actually
know they got a player, right, on their roster?
Yeah, I'm aware of that one. Yeah. No, I just love how different of a style he has than all the other pass rushers. You know, you got George Karlaftis, who feels like a power, not necessarily as fast or speedy, and you got Josh Uche, who's just going to, like, lower the shoulder like a Micah Parsons light kind of style rusher. If you haven't gotten to watch Josh Uche, just quicker than off the line than anyone else, going to dip his shoulder, get around you. I mean, had an incredible 2022. He just hasn't been able to rush the passer these past two seasons because the Patriots are down in every football game they play.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when you're on a bad football team, it limits exactly what you want to do all the time. So you got to play from behind constantly. I love the fact that Bill Belichick was opining on him because Belichick drafted the guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we can say what we want about Bill Belichick, but he's a pretty damn good defensive coordinator over the years, right? He knows defense. And for him to have the high praise of Josh Uche is really cool to hear because, you know, that's a Hall of Fame coach who drafted him. He understands what this kid was all about, why they went out and got him. And New England's doing the right thing right now. Like, I know it's only a sixth round draft pick, but if you're going to build that franchise back up, you need as many draft picks as you can possibly get. And this guy going to free agency at the end of the year, you know, you better trade him now, get a better pick than the seventh round compensatory pick you were probably going to get for him and start to move forward and start to move your organization forward. And now we're a week away, I think, from the trade deadline, right? A week from today is the trade deadline. I'm interested to see what happens today and tomorrow as we start to move into the week. And then when the Jets lose on Thursday night, if they decide to open up their roster and dump everybody off of that after Halloween.
Yeah, like Devontae Adams.
Go get him. Might as well. I'd call for everybody on the Sauce Jets Gardner. Right now. The Jets and the Giants right now, where they sit, you'd be foolish to keep anybody on your roster.
If they really
right
wanted
now.
To give A.A. Ron a middle finger, they'd trade Lazard.
That would, best bud.
That'd be like the
that
one.
That would be awesome.
It'd be like, Be like, hey, Devontae, I'll be right back. I'm going to say something to Allen. Oh, you didn't hear. Hear what? Oh, no, Allen's on his way to Los Angeles.
Yeah, he's going to the Rams.
Yeah, he's going to the Rams. Oh, no one told you. No. Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then it would be like, welcome back to the darkness.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, but Aaron has screwed up their organization. Yeah. He really has. But they let him. They gave him the keys to the kingdom. This is why you don't let players take charge. Aaron Rodgers has screwed up the Jets. And if you're Woody Johnson, and if you want to get some final revenge on Aaron Rodgers, you start trading all of his guys and get rid of all of them. And if you're the Jets right now, you're going to have a new head coach, obviously. You're going to have a new general manager. You're going to have a new quarterback, or at least should have a new quarterback at the end of this season. The only way you can get up there and get better is by having younger players, younger talent, more draft picks. I mean, it should be open season for the Jets.
No, I believe it. On the come.
On the come.
So good, you got to play it twice.
On the come.
I mean, imagine getting in your car at 6:30 and you hear that.
That's right.
Like, you start your, let's just do this. You get out of your living room, you got your coffee in your hand, you get in your car, you turn the radio on, and
on the come.
Okay, Tuesday.
Let's do it. Right at 6:30 too.
Normally it's like, traffic looks good downtown. The Grandview Triangle's a little backed up here at 6:30, but not for Frank, who gets in his car. Starts
on the come.
All right. Welcome to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. On the come this week, I'll go first. Puka Nacua, baby.
Woo!
Been out all year. Everybody was asking me, and I feel terrible for people that asked for my advice this week. Because I was like, man, they're really pushing this Cooper Kupp guy back. I feel like that's Stafford's, bacon and eggs buddy. They eat breakfast every day together. Puka's going to get eased in there. Not a chance. Last Thursday, like 15 targets, 10 catches, 100 yards.
You got to go with your guy, right? Like, if he's healthy and ready to go, there's no easing back in. We only got 17 of these. Get your ass out there and play. Let's go.
Puka Nacua is one of those guys that we always ask the question, because he had 7 catches for 106 yards on Thursday night last week, had 9 targets. And that's like the typical like Puka Nacua stat,
so good.
Right? Just a PPR one wide receiver. And it always makes me think, because like people always go back and think, man, that kid out of BYU that nobody knew was there, would he do good in the Chiefs offense? Probably. But it's like, is Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp the same wide receiver outside of a McVay offense with Matthew Stafford?
I think they're good in Kansas City. I think it matters if you have a quarterback getting you the football. You know, they're not going to be good with Daniel Jones. They're just not.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, obviously. But I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, would they be that guy anywhere else? Because, like, that system, the way that McVay runs that offense, it's like, would he be that guy in Washington with, Jaden Daniels? Would he be that guy in Minnesota? Would they be those guys?
Yeah,
they play so well off each other.
They do, but would Travis Kelce be the same without Patrick Mahomes, too? Yeah. I mean, that's like the wavelengths that they're on is just something that you can't translate from team to team. I mean, I've used it numerous times where Travis says, I don't know, Patrick knew where I was going to be before I knew where I was going to be, right? Like, you don't have that with another quarterback with Travis Kelce, and maybe you don't with them, but I'm not saying, those guys wouldn't be good somewhere else.
And Puka Nacua goes against, a team that gives up 375 yards total on average this week against Seattle in that divisional game. So Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, yes, start this week in fantasy.
Oh, God, yes. So LA is going to win that game, start to take control of that Western division in the NFC.
Oh, they're winning that. Yeah, they're winning that division.
I think they probably are
Matt
about
called
now.
That like 2 weeks ago.
They're 3-4, the rest of that division 4-4.
Yeah, go Rams, right?
Go Rams.
Go Rams. My on the come this week, Bo Nix, baby. Bo Nix, I told you. Bo Nix, he leads all NFL rookies with 12 total touchdowns. Jaden Daniels ranks second with 11. Nix is also one of 4 rookies since 1970 with 8 or more pass touchdowns and 4 or more rushing TDs through his first 8 career games. And in October, Bo Nix is ranked the best rookie quarterback. More touchdowns than anybody from a rookie standpoint, a better TD to interception ratio than anybody, more passing yards than any rookie, more rushing TDs than any rookie, and 3 wins, ties for first. Pretty impressive by Bo Nix, who, I got to tell you, I think Denver's making the playoffs right now. Just looking at the standings and seeing where everybody else is, Denver's got as good a shot as anybody to get in the postseason. And if they do, it's all because of Bo Nix.
Do you really believe he's better than Jaden Daniels?
No.
Okay.
You still think he's better than Caleb Williams, though?
Absolutely. I think Caleb Williams stinks.
More impressive in your guys' mind, Bo Nix in Denver at 5-3, second in the AFC West, or Jaden Daniels in Washington 6-2 in first place in the AFC East?
Jaden Daniels.
Bo Nix.
I think it's tough, dude. Like, I know that we think about,
because
like,
we didn't think Denver would
be
anything.
Right, we thought Denver was going to be, like, dog crap, dude.
Right,
like,
yeah.
But that defense
is really good.
They're 5-3. But Bo Nix is leading rookie quarterbacks in every statistical category in the month of October.
And who saw, and here's the thing that's great. What's Dallas's biggest problem? Defense?
Quarterback, head coach, owner,
yeah,
general manager, and owner.
Like, you and I could get 10 yards rushing in an entire game against Dallas, which is saying something, right?
You know,
like,
how hard that is, though?
I believe it, but not against Dallas. And Dallas's defensive coordinator is in first place in a divisional team and going to win Coach of the Year. Who deserves Coach of the Year more, Sean Payton or Quinn?
I think Dan Quinn, because the situation in Washington is just always bizarre. But now new owner, so we can't factor that in. But I think you're right. It is tough to decide. But nobody thought Bo Nix was going to be anything special. Nobody thought that this Denver team was going to be any good. Bo Nix is leading all rookies. They're not winning despite Bo Nix. No. They're winning with Bo Nix right now.
Right.
So I think Denver is the bigger surprise at 5-3. I didn't think they'd be above 500 at all this year.
Yeah, I didn't either. I'll give you that. This month, they played the Raiders, the Chargers, the Saints, and the Panthers.
Coming up, or they already did?
That's what they did. That's the month that we're bragging about. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, they took advantage of their schedule. What did Washington play? The Giants and Cowboys and
who
Eagles?
Hurt
I mean,
you,
yeah.
Man? Gee, many Christmas.
He's so mad that Bo Nix is good.
But I will say, he plays the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Falcons, and the Raiders.
That's right. And then he gets Colts, Chargers, Bengals, Chiefs.
Yeah, let's see what he does.
Do they finish above 500? Yes or no?
Yeah, they do.
Mac?
No. This is the fakest team in the league.
Fakest team in the league?
Oh, no, they're not.
I think Pittsburgh's the fakest team in the league.
Pittsburgh's right there. No, Pittsburgh's better
their
than Denver.
Their schedule gets brutal, too.
Their schedule gets brutal.
Yeah, no, they're fake. No,
Pittsburgh is the fakest team in the league.
Once you get this momentum and you start to taste winning, man, strange things happen. Ask the Royals from this year.
Would you rather have Bo Nix or Russell Wilson?
Bo Nix.
Well, are we talking about this season?
Yeah.
Well, right now.
Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Oh, God. He's actually played pretty well these past 2 weeks. You watched the game last night. He was good. Those deep balls, man.
He hit two on the come.
Yeah, but he's so cringe, man. Like, and he's at the end of his career. Bo Nix is at the beginning of his career.
We're talking about this season. Yeah. No, we're not talking about this season.
We're just going out there to play hard. You know, my team's ready to go, and I don't know why I'm sweating so much in a pregame interview, but my eye black's going to have to get redone at halftime.
What was his key word now that he's saying?
Who knows?
Oh, well,
grind steel or something. I don't know. Geez.
Lexington Steel. Don't look that name up. You're on the come.
I'm gonna go Keon Coleman for the Buffalo Bills. Okay. Wide receiver. I mean,
yeah,
he's
he really did well.
Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper really, really not.
I mean, he's changing Keon Coleman's ceiling as far as fantasy football is concerned. Tariq Woolen, one of the best corners in the league on Seattle,
cooked.
And he's like 6'2". Yeah, cooked him in the end zone and then like taps him on the head. He's like, good rep, guy. Good rep, boy. Yeah, I think Keon Coleman's a stud.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Josh Allen's got it.
On the come.
Yeah, we did nail it though. Yeah, on the come was the first thing I heard in their car. Just got in the car.
Good.
Turn it on the come.
Yes.
And then someone said Dr. Pepper on the come.
You guys think the Steelers are more fake than the Browns? That's crazy.
Yeah,
no, I don't know.
Because I'm just defending what you said.
You are who you are. You're arguing what
your record
is.
Fake. I think the Broncos are just beating bad teams. Whereas, like, I think people legitimately think Pittsburgh can do something. Like, Mike Tomlin's record in the playoffs is not good. Mike Tomlin wins the regular season, but I don't trust this team to beat Baltimore. I don't trust this team to be able to beat Kansas City. I don't trust, like, this.
But
this
to make the playoffs.
They might make the playoffs.
Pittsburgh's going to make the playoffs.
I think both Pittsburgh and Denver both make the playoffs.
I
mean,
I think Denver
could actually play each other.
I think that's the matchup right now, isn't it? Like Denver versus Pittsburgh or something.
Five seed, four seed?
Yeah, something like that. Like they're right there neck and neck, yeah.
I mean, I think Bo Nix is the third best rookie in the league at quarterback. And I think that their team, I mean, I think they're both on the same field. I think they're both on the same playing field. Like if Pittsburgh and Denver played each other in the playoffs, I think that game would be 17-10. And it would be one of those games you're like, I'm glad I had money on this because I don't know why I watched
it. Why don't you say the Rams are the biggest fake team at 3-4? Because they should be better than 3-4.
They've been severely hurt.
Yeah.
With their two biggest superstars that we just referenced in Cup and Nakua.
Right, exactly. They've been hurt. So that's why I'm saying they're like what was the term, the fraud team or whatever you want to say. Like the Rams at 3-4. probably are a fraud team. If they're healthy, which, you know, ifs and buts and all that, they're probably sitting maybe with two losses right now. So, you know, you got to look at it that way. I think Minnesota may be considered a fraud team right now. They're starting to come back to the pack. Sam Darnold's starting to see ghosts again, right? So, you know, you've got a couple of teams like that. Obviously, we're looking at the Chicago Bears. They're considered a fraud team right now. Everybody wants Eberflus fired. So there are some teams out there. He should be fired. There are some teams out there that are not playing as well as they should be, and you could look at them as fraud teams. There are some teams that are maybe playing better than anybody expected them. I mean, you want to call them a fraud, but you are what your record is, and there's no changing that. Right now, both Denver and Pittsburgh are above 500. You get that early season success, and it starts to snowball. Like I said, ask the Royals. They built off of early season success, and it snowballed all season long, and they started to believe that, hey, the boys are playing some ball, and once you have that belief, you can do anything you want to do.
No doubt about it. Believe in us. We'll be right back because we want to talk to you about our Tough Tuesdays. Everybody has a tough Tuesday except Bob Fesco. This is 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
We're back here on 96.5 The Fan. Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. Tough Tuesdays. Boy, is there some names on Tough Tuesday.
Boy, I'll tell you what, man. The list continues to get a little bit longer and longer.
And also stay the same.
Yeah, and it's also starting to clear itself up a little bit, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you know, whoever that Jets coach is at this point in time.
Aaron Rodgers.
He's gone at the end of the season, right? Yeah.
You're running out of guys to get out of New York, though.
I know that's the thing, yeah, right? Like with the Jets, eventually you're going to have to move on from Aaron Rodgers.
Is there a chance he gets benched? Is there a chance where, like, this guy, I know it's like an interim coach, so he's like basically just like, hey, no. Dude, don't screw it up. But like third quarter, Jets aren't doing anything, can't get anything moving, and it's like, hey,
who is the backup for the Jets right now? Is it Mike White? Is he still the backup?
No, is it Tyrod Taylor? Is that right?
Oh, that's right. It is. You're 100% right about that. Yes, you're absolutely right about that. It is Taylor. Because
if he's benched, he'll bench himself, I think.
He's got a sore hammy.
Allegedly. That defensive player for New England, I forget who it was, came out after the game and goes, yeah, that dude looks old. but he does. I mean, you know, obviously it's not all Aaron Rodgers, but he's going to take the brunt of it. Again, when you're a jackass to people, there's nobody there to catch you on the way down. And that's kind of where Aaron Rodgers is right now. It's become pile on time because he's been a douche to people over the years.
Yeah, he's on my Tough Tuesday list. Also, New York, the city of New York. I'm just saying, the Yankees lost last night. The Giants lost last night. The Knicks lost last night. New York City FC lost last night. Tough Tuesday for New York,
dude. Bad day
for New York, dude. Wow.
And then the Jets lost the day before, right?
That's right. But in all seriousness, my tough Tuesday list, Bears coach, Eberflus.
Eberflus.
Mm. Not only did you – so this is why I think he's a tough Tuesday. You called out a player, never good. I don't know how you go back in that locker room and everybody takes you seriously because you're – I know it's one of the most Richard things we've seen with what he did. Talk a bunch of crap, tip the ball, goes to his guy, game's over, you lose on a Hail Mary. Mack almost flew to Washington to cuss this guy out because he cost him $100+.
Still irate.
But not only that, you say that you practice that play every Saturday. I watched Colin Cowherd's show like I do all the time, and he stopped telling people I do that. They know this by now. Matt Hasselbeck was on. He had a really good saying, though. He said that my coach has always told me to be elevated pasta sauce on yesterday's pasta.
Oh, okay.
That's what he wants to do. I thought that was a great reference.
That is,
be good pasta sauce on yesterday's pasta. I was like, that is Matt Hasselbeck's career.
Right.
But they're like, why do you have a QB spy in that situation? Like, he has to throw a Hail Mary. He can't run.
Right.
He can only go 5 or however yards to get to the line of scrimmage. And I guess that they throw like the laterals and stuff, but they clearly were showing you they were all verts going to the end zone.
Right.
And then call your player out. Good luck getting back to the locker room. Mike McDaniels is on my Tough Tuesday list. It's getting old, man. Getting old fast. Yep. You had your team yesterday or Sunday. You had Tua. You had Tyreek. You had Waddle. You still didn't win.
You lost to Arizona.
Who on the come might be a good team. And Mike McCarthy, man, I don't know if you know where Storage Mart is in Dallas. I don't know if you know where, like, where they store those brown boxes that you can fill stuff in. If I'm Mike McCarthy, I'm getting ahead of it. Yeah. I know my rent's going to be up in 3 months. I'm packing now and I'm looking elsewhere. You're not going to be in Dallas much longer because Jerry Jones, he's going to have enough of you and you are going to be fired.
Well, Jerry Jones should fire himself as general manager if he really wants to turn that program around.
Well, the Lord
right?
will do that eventually.
That's exactly it will. I mean,
I'm just thinking it's time. He's like 80 something.
He's 83 years old, I think, is how old Jerry Jones is. But, you know, every Dallas Cowboy coach should never unpack when they go down there because they know they're not long for the world.
It's a timeshare.
It really is. No. I mean, you're there for a couple of weeks and you move out. Like I feel bad for Mike McCarthy, but you don't have a chance
and
with Jerry Jones.
That's all they're talking about all year is it time to change coaches?
That's it.
That's what got him to go off on those radio places.
That's all they talk about in Dallas anyway, though.
It's time to fire the coach. And there hasn't been a coach. There's never. You can go back and back and back. Jason Garrett didn't work. Mike McCarthy didn't work.
Bill Parcells didn't work.
I mean, nobody's worked
in
Dallas.
Except for Jimmy Johnson. That was the only coach. I don't want to hear Barry Switzer. He came in on the tail end, won a championship, and didn't do much after that.
Is it the coach or is it the owner?
Well, I think it's the owner.
I don't think it's. I mean, I think Mike McCarthy is a little bit overrated because he used Aaron Rodgers to get a Super Bowl title. I do believe that, but I just...
The proof is out there. All of these coaches have failed since 1993.
And, yeah.
Or five, or whatever the year it was, right? Like
basically 96. Since 96, for the last 30 years,
right.
They haven't had a coach that's been there, that's worked because of Jerry Jones and constantly, like, imagine if you had a boss that was just honestly every day behind
every
your
day,
back, like, you sure that's a good topic? You sure that's a good topic? You sure that's a good topic? Dude, I'm not myself.
Right.
I can't do this with you on my back.
You can't. Or you have a boss that gives you no resources to go out there and work with, and you're expected to go out there and win. All right, go out there and win with this. Who are these people, Jerry?
I don't think Derrick Henry is the problem.
Yeah.
No. How's your running game? You have Dalvin Cook and a washed up Zeke Elliott.
You never go back to the well
who's
with running
slapping
backs.
Slapping butts and smelling fingers.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if you saw that video.
Yeah.
He did it and then bit his lip in like that sexual way.
Yeah, gross. So that's Dallas in a nutshell. That's Dallas in a nutshell.
Anyways,
and it will
that's
always be
Tuesday.
That way. Like, I've been graduated high school since the Dallas Cowboys have last done anything spectacular.
Okay.
That's no, it is. 30 years. I graduated in 1995. I mean,
you got an anniversary coming up then.
You know, going to KU 30 years ago, I'll celebrate that. But I mean, high school reunion, my God. All right, let's get back to some more Tough Tuesdays. Mac, who do you have on the list?
Yeah, I'll just add Todd Bowles would be on my list. I mean, this is a defensive-minded head coach. When was the last time?
Tampa?
Yeah, in Tampa, for Tampa Bay. When was the last time Tampa's defense was good?
I don't know.
They won the Super Bowl when their defensive roster was stacked and they spent all the money they had to get all the best players. They didn't draft well. It wasn't good coaching. They're building up these players, fourth-round, third-round draft picks. The defense absolutely sucks. It's a bottom five unit. And not only that, you keep Chris Godwin in the rest of the game. When that game is over, you're down two possessions. The game's ending. You keep Chris Godwin in. Yeah, I know what Ryan Clark said. I disagree with it. You play Mike Evans. Everyone and their mother knew there was a chance Mike Evans was going to get hurt in that Baltimore game on primetime. You're playing an NFC or AFC opponent, out-of-conference opponent. You don't need it. You're leading your division. You play both receivers. You lose them. Todd Bowles, your defense sucks. That's the only thing you're there for. Your Tough Tuesdays.
All right, Tuesday. We mentioned McDaniel. We mentioned McCarthy. I got to go with the Carolina coach this week, too. Your players are out here complaining that Denver ran up the score.
You see a lot of women upset with that with that pick.
I mean,
he's like sex appeal number one.
Is he really?
Yeah, there's a bunch
more
of like
so than the Minnesota coach Matt Fleener.
No, it's Kevin O'Connell. Oh. But no, there's a bunch of like TikToks and Instagram reels going around. It's like, I don't like football. Wait a minute, I might. And then it pans over and it's like Carolina.
Really? Yeah. So he's a sex symbol now? Well, he'll be standing in the food stamp line here in a minute because your players are out here complaining about
David Tepper's also your boss.
Exactly. Yeah, that too.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, once you start complaining about running up the score, that I'm out on that
one. Better.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get to that coming up a little bit. Obviously, the Jets coach du jour. And then tip of the cap to Mac on this one. Lance Leipold's got to be on the hot seat right about now, man. Like,
can't win in the fourth quarter.
Every game they've blown. I think they should cancel the program in Lawrence. I've been saying that for years now.
Well, how are they going to finish the stadium?
Who cares? You canceled the program. It doesn't matter anymore. Kansas can't football. There's just no other way to put it. Man. Every 10 to 12 years, they have a nice season. Mm-hmm. Everybody loses their mind. They act like they've arrived, and that's the biggest thing. These guys act like they arrived over there in Lawrence. They were the kings walking around town. They can't even figure out a way to win a football game right
now. That's Bob's alma mater.
That was harsh. I love it, though. I agree. You're right. Every game's been close. They've had it in the balance every time. Get close.
That's coaching.
Exactly.
That's coaching. You win close games and you lose close games, and that, to me, is all about coaching. And the way that they just continue to lose game after game after game after game, they're going to have half a stadium done for 30 years, and then they're going to need the other half done that they redid before they get the other half done.
Like, well, it'll be 20 years. They'll have two winning seasons, and they'll finish the other half of the season. Yeah. And then they'll be like, and we're going to renovate the other side.
Yeah. Give us all your money. Like, you talk about wasting dough on the Kansas football program. What a joke.
Bill Self just sitting there going, told you.
Bill Self's like, I'll stick coach with me. Let Bill Self coach both.
Yeah, let him recruit to the football stadium. That's what you do there. Had they already had Late Night the Fall? They have.
Yeah, they did last week.
Who
yeah.
was the entertainer?
Snoop Dogg, I think.
No way. No,
again. Not again, no.
Was it Little John? I think it was Little John.
Oh, nice.
I think so. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
Was it Fat Joe?
No. Good hell.
How about all the weight he's lost, though? Give him a little credit. I think he's lost like 250 pounds, man.
Whoa. Somebody said he went from somebody. I don't know why this is funny to me, but they had a picture of Fat Joe. They said, nah, that ain't Fat Joe. That's a Ozempic Joe.
I saw one that said he went from Fat Joe to just Joe.
Yeah. Stop shaming this guy, man. I just felt, yeah, he tried so hard.
What was that? I mean, come on.
Everyone in the stadium's like, dude, we're down 2-0.
I didn't see Ice Cube in L.A.
Ohtani's out here with one arm beating us.
I didn't see Ice Cube in L.A. I don't know. Did he crush it in L.A.?
They were up 1-0, okay. though. So everybody's like feeling great.
It's different, yeah. Like that ballpark last night, I don't know if you sensed it through the TV like I did. Those fans did not really want to be there last night.
They should have had Woody Allen's son that's really Frank Sinatra's son go out there and sing.
Yeah,
have you seen that?
No, I have not.
Oh, boy, I'll show you. That's pretty funny. They had to do a funny Family Guy skit on it too. It's like, yeah, it's like Woody Allen's son that's not looks nothing like Frank Sinatra. He comes in, he's got like blue eyes, gray hair, smoking cigarettes. He's like, hey, Dad, what are we? You know? Anyways, coming up on the other side, we get to three fun questions here on Fesco and Dusty on Kansas City's home for sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.